It's good to have Brother Travis Parker. He is the pastor of the Zirconia Baptist Church right below Hendersonville, North Carolina. I appreciate this young man. I knew him when he was just a little boy, preached to him in his father's church. God laid his hand on him to preach, and he's preaching for us tonight because he's God's man for this hour. You hear him gladly while he preaches. Love. I love you. Amen. They'll run the light for you.
1 Samuel chapter number 30 tonight, if you have your Bibles. The book of 1 Samuel chapter number 30. What a blessing it is to be back in the tabernacle tonight. I appreciate this privilege and count it a great honor to be here in the service and to be part of Taylorsville Baptist Camp Meeting 2023. And I appreciate the help that I have already received by being in the meetings. The good preaching and the singing has been outstanding. I mean, it has been wonderful. And I appreciate Brother Jordan and these Hayes sisters singing for us tonight. Wasn't that great? And thank the Lord for them. I appreciate Brother Steve allowing us to come, opening up this door for us and giving us this opportunity. And I just don't have the words to tell you what he means to me and my family. And we love him dearly. And I love his family. I not only love Brother Steve, but I love his family. I appreciate Miss Barbara. We love her and Julie, and appreciate Brother Josh and Brother Jordan. And what a blessing it is to see them work together. I mean, I'm telling you, it's a blessing to see them work around this camp meeting together. And I sure do thank the Lord for how he has put it together like he has. It's good to have my wife here tonight and three of my five children. And I appreciate her being here. And it's also good to have a brother from the church drove down to be part of the service. But I need the help from the Lord tonight, so you pray for us that the Lord would help us. 1 Samuel chapter number 30. And if you will, please, I would ask that you would stand tonight. And by standing, we'll reverence the reading of God's word together. The Bible says in verse number 1, "And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess and Abigail the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." Amen. You can be seated tonight, and I appreciate you standing as we read the word of God together. David and his men returned to Ziklag, having been dismissed by King Achish from the battle between the Philistines and the army of Israel. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 29 and in verse number 7, Achish says, "Wherefore now return and go in peace, that thou displease not the lords of the Philistines." It was nothing less in the life of David than the providence of God working in his life that kept David from participating in the battle in which Saul and his sons were slain. Yes, David no doubt didn't understand what God was doing, but I must confess tonight, a lot of times I don't understand what God is doing, but I'm glad that I know that he is a God that is working on my behalf in his providence, as we heard this morning, and I bless his name. David had not God in his mind, but I'm glad that God had David in his mind. I'm thankful for that tonight, aren't you? We go through our days a lot of time and we don't even acknowledge God, don't even think about God, but I'm glad God has his mind upon you and upon me. And he's working in our life in a providential way. Aren't you glad of that? You're not even under this tabernacle tonight by accident. You're here by the providence of God. It was providence that kept David from being part of that battle. Now, while David is kept from one battle, we must be reminded, and we are by Ziklag, that there is always another battle. You may be delivered from one battle here, but you can mark it down, there will be another battle that you'll have to face. I've always been amazed at how we can win in one area or on one front in our life and lose on another. Isn't it amazing how you can win in your ministry and lose in your marriage? Isn't it amazing how you can win on the front of preaching and pastoring and then lose in the area of parenting? I've always been amazed at that. But you may be exempt. You may be winning one battle or exempt from one battle. But brother and sister, you and I can guarantee that we will face battles in this life. Ziklag has the meaning as to press. It carries the idea of pressing someone or something to reveal what is on the inside. That is what Ziklag was in the life of David. You'll find that while David and his men were absent from Ziklag, that is when the Amalekites took advantage of them not being in the city. And may I remind all of us tonight that we have an enemy and he will take the advantage. I'm telling you, he don't fight fair. The Philistines would fight you to your face, but the Amalekites would fight you behind your back, and that is the way the enemy is. If he can get an advantage, he's going to take that advantage and he'll try to destroy all that he can. Their raid in Ziklag during David's absence was overruled by God. You see, God was a working in their raid, because when David had smote the Amalekites, he did not take their women captive. He killed their women. But aren't you glad God was working on David's behalf? And I'm thankful this evening that we got a God that is looking out for us. And if the enemy had his way, he would destroy us. But I'm glad I've got a God that's a keeper. Keeping me, and in wrath, he is showing mercy in the life of David. Amen. I understand tonight that this message may not be for the present hour, but I do know that there are days ahead when you might can look back and draw something from the action of David in these verses. The Bible said that David was not only distressed, but he was greatly distressed. And the people spake of stoning him because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He was at a place in his life where there was no sign of life. When you come to a place when there is nothing moving and there is nothing going on, brother and sister, it'll cause you to become greatly distressed in your life. David comes back to Ziklag, and there is nothing moving. There's nothing going on. There's no pitter-patter of little children's feet. There's no welcoming of his wives. There's no parade. There's no sign of life. I don't know about you, but I've been there before, where David is, where it seemed like everything around me was dead, and I don't like things that are dead, but there's been times in my life when there was no sign of life. And if you're not careful, that'll greatly distress you. Why, if you've been married any length of time, there's been some dead times in your marriage. And preachers, you know well as I do, it ain't always lively on Wednesday night and Sunday night and even Sunday morning. There'll be some dead times in your life. There was not only no sign of life, but could I share with you tonight, there was no sort of logic. David couldn't even make sense out of what was happening. There was no meaning to what was going on. The Bible says that in verse number 4, then David and all the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives. A brother and sister tonight, David was in a place where he just couldn't make sense out of what was going on in his life. Has anybody ever been there before? I'm telling you, it just didn't make sense. You couldn't make any sort of logic out of why you were having to deal or go through with what you were having to go through.
There was no sort of logic there. It happens a lot of times through tragedies and through trouble. And people come to the man of God and they'll want to know, why did this happen or why did that happen? And I don't have the answer for all the whys. All I try to do is point them to a God that makes no mistakes. I don't have all the answers, but I'm trying to tell you I got a God that has all the answers tonight. There's no sign of life. There's no sort of logic. But could I say tonight there was no show of love? The Bible said that the men that had once stood beside David and was willing to fight with him and even die for him was now speaking among themselves about gathering up stones to kill him. Isn't that something? You say, preacher, I'm not distressed tonight. I know you're not right now, but I'm trying to tell you, when there's no sign of life and when there's no sort of logic and when nobody's patting you on the back and telling you that's a good job and we appreciate you, you might become greatly distressed. As long as they're remembering Pastor Appreciation Day, as long as they're remembering your birthday, as long as you're doing what they think you ought to do in their mind and you're getting the pats at the door, you'll stay pretty encouraged. But when the same people that once stood with you begin to speak of your demise, it'll cause you to become greatly distressed in your life. I was telling my church Sunday morning when I was telling them about our Wednesday night service and where I would be. I told them, I said, I want you to pray for me. I said, I want you to pray that God would encourage me in this meeting. And as some of you preachers know, sometimes you feel like you give and you just need somebody to pour back into you. I'm thankful for camp meeting. I'm grateful for a place where you can come and sit and just soak up the good things of God. But I'm telling you, there will come a time when camp meeting will be over and there may be no sign of life and no sort of logic and nobody showing you love. I'm interested in what to do then. The Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Now, I read that pretty quick, but don't you miss that little three-letter word. Boy, I love that word of conjunction there. That word but is used to introduce a phrase or clause contrasting with what has already been mentioned. David was greatly distressed, but hallelujah, David encouraged himself. Are you listening to me tonight? David was greatly distressed, but he cheered himself. David was greatly distressed, but he motivated himself. David was greatly distressed, but he stirred himself. David was greatly distressed, but he uplifted himself. I'm trying to tell you tonight, when your encouragement does not come from around you, it must come from within you. And I'm glad tonight you can encourage. encourage yourself in the Lord. If it don't come from those that are around you, it must come from within you. Those that have taken the Lord, their God, for their God may take encouragement from their relationship to their God. I love that, don't you? He is my God. He is my Lord. And I can take encouragement from that tonight. There's three things. I'm just going to deal with one tonight. For you and I to encourage ourselves in the Lord, I believe that we would have to, first of all, deal with personal failures in our life. You see, David has come to Ziklag. It's burned with fire. His wives are gone. His children are gone. But it was nobody's fault but David's. David was operating without consulting with God, and David also had sided with the enemy. He was not where he should be, and he had to just accept that I am where I am because of what I've done in my life. I've seen so many people, Brother Steve, they try to blame the preacher. I've seen them even try to blame God when it ain't the preacher's fault and it ain't God's fault, but brother and sister, it's our fault as to why we are where we are a lot of times. Had to deal with personal failures, but then also saw that he would have to defy the present feelings. Could you imagine David standing there in Ziklag and all that must have been flowing through his body? Those present feelings must have been overwhelming. I'm talking about feelings just to sit down and stop and to just throw in the towel and quit and give up and say, there ain't no use to do anything anymore. I've already lost it all. Y'all know what I'm talking about tonight. Why, it happens to about every one of us preachers on Monday morning. I'm telling you, we want to quit and give up. But you know why? You get back in that pulpit on Wednesday night and the next Sunday morning is because you defy those present feelings of quitting. Could I remind you tonight and myself, ain't nowhere for us to stop. There ain't no time for us to quit. If there's ever been a day that we ought to serve God and serve Him with all of our might, it's in this day, this hour, and God help us to rise above those feelings to give up. You see, David didn't know it, but he still had a family. And David had a fight to fight. And David had a future. And he had to defy those present feelings. But I want to say something lastly. Not only did he have to deal with personal failures, and he had to defy the present feelings, but I would say that David had to draw from past favors. If he was going to rise above that situation, he was going to have to draw from something in his past. I'm preaching to people tonight that has been favored by God. I mean, God's been good to you, and God's been good to me. And when you and I get down and we feel like quitting and throwing in the towel, we ought to encourage ourselves in the Lord our God. And you do that by reaching back in your memory bank and drawing from just how good God has been to every one of us. Think about David in that situation that he was in. I believe that his mind, as he tried to stir itself and encourage himself, I believe his mind went back as he was just a young man tending those sheep out yonder in the wilderness. And all of a sudden one day somebody come and said, David, you need it back over there at the house. David said, I can't go. I've got all these sheep. And he said, David, you got to go. They said, ain't going to sit down till you come. And David comes back over the hill, sees the man of God. He's got the horn of all. David comes before Samuel, and Samuel takes that horn that was filled with that oil and begins to pour it upon his head. I'm telling you, when you feel like you can't go on, reach back yonder, get a hold of some of those past favors and draw from them. I didn't have what David had, but I'm going to tell you, I've had the oil of the Holy Ghost poured upon my life, and I can look back on that and draw strength from how God has anointed my life. Oh my, you listening tonight? David had to draw. Think about how he had to draw from those past favors. Begin to think about how he had slew the lion and the bear. And then how he went down into that valley. And when the enemy of God's people had pitched themselves against them, he took out those five smooth stones and took one and went and confronted Goliath and put that stone in that sling and smote the giant. I'm trying to tell you, we got some victories in our past that we can draw from to help us encourage ourselves in the Lord. David could remember how that he had been delivered out of the javelin throwing hands of Saul, and how God had protected his life. Well, I want to tell you, there's some of us in here that no doubt God has put his hand of protection upon our life more times than one. And when we get greatly distressed, may God help us to draw from those past favors in our life. Well, I'm telling you, there's been more times than one that I've had to draw from how good God has been to me in the past. Boy, I've seen God deliver. I've seen God supply. I'm telling you, when I get down and I feel like David was just greatly distressed, I can look back and just see how good God has been. I'm going to promise you, when I get out of this meeting, there'll be a day out yonder in the future where I'll feel like David did. But I'm going to look back upon Taylorsville Baptist Camp Meeting, and I'm going to be able to draw from how God has blessed us in this meeting. God has been good to us. Thinking about how, boy, I needed somebody to pour into me. And I was thinking about the good preaching that I was coming to hear. And I was thinking about how Brother Steve had some of God's choice men lined up to preach, and I thought, well, surely he'll pour in and he has helped me. But I'm going to tell you, the other morning when David got up and began to sing about our Lord being over the rainbow and down through them trees, brother, it seemed like God began to pour into me. And when I get in that place, I'm thankful I can look back on the past favors of God in my life and draw from them and help me keep on going when the going gets tough in my life. Had to draw from those past favors. How that he was selected out of his brethren. How that he had the oil upon his head. How that the Lord had delivered him out of the hands of his enemies. Oh my, I'm trying to tell you, God has been good to David. How he had a covenant made with a man by the name of Jonathan. I believe he could draw from that. But could I say, David ain't got nothing on you and I tonight. Because I have been chosen. I have been selected. I've had his oil put upon my head. I'm telling you, he's delivered me. He's made a covenant with me. I say, hallelujah, what a God, what a God, and what a blessing it is to draw from those past favors. Deal with those personal failures, my Lord, and I'm thankful that we can do that, and the Lord would help us to draw. Leave here with something that'll carry us in the days ahead. Preacher, that's my message.